there, Dreamers. This is your pal, Mickey. You're listening to Dreamers Podcast. Haha, I hope you all have a magical day.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Becky Mankin, who is making her dreams come true by making vacation dreams come true for others. Glad to have you on the show, Becky.
It is great to be here, Joe. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed listening to many of my other friends that have appeared off and on your show and kind of listening to their stories. I've learned a lot about people I've known for a long time.
I feel the same exact way. Thank you for listening to the show. I'm glad that you enjoy it.
Oh, it's, like I said, it's been a lot of fun to kind of prose through the archives and see who's been on, and I've really enjoyed it. So thanks for having me on. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Not a problem. I am too. So why don't we get started by giving some background about yourself?
Wow. How far back do you want me to go, Joe?
Well, you know, you own a company, right?
Yeah. I stumbled into a company, I guess is a good way to put it. I kind of have seen myself as a jack of all trades and master of none in many strange ways. I started out of school, and I, believe it or not, went into the fire department of all things. And I trained as an emergency medical technician, and I worked that job for quite a while. I was in my 20s. And I got to be careful, otherwise I'm going to start sound like scope and dating myself. I went from doing emergency medicine and just stumbled or tripped into an opportunity from there that I couldn't resist. I ended up training in pyrotechnics and went on the road with rock bands doing pyrotechnics for about 8 years of my life, which was an experience I will not talk about very much. I'm totally kidding. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But from there, when it was time to get off the road, and I had done that for 8 years, and a lot of traveling and a lot of buses and a lot of craft services for dinner and that type of thing, I stopped in Seattle and I went to work for a software company, because I was just looking for something to do to kind of kick the addiction that I had to music at the time. Went to work for Egghead Software, believe it or not, on their call center. They were just trying to fill seasonally for a big product update that was going out. And I found a niche. I enjoyed talking to people. I enjoyed working with people at that point. From there, I started working with different Seattle software companies. We can put it at that. I worked myself into a director position for customer service for one of those companies. And I met my husband there. And at one point, he looked at me after working for a few years, and he said, "So if we had a family, I'd want you to stay home," because it's something we talked about before, about staying home with kids if we were going to do that. And he said, "What would you want to do?" I said, "You know, wow. If I had to stay home, but I'm raising kids, I'd still need something to keep my brain busy, because I want to be able to speak like an adult and and still have that people connection that I love so much." And I said, "You know what? I kind of like to travel." And he kind of looked at me and he said, "Well, that doesn't really, it's not conducive to you staying home." And I went, "No, that's not what I mean. I think I could really get into the travel industry," which was something that I had thought about doing since my 20s, helping people find vacations and enjoying all of the detail and all the service that we can present to them. So being the supportive man that he is, he said, "Okay, let's figure out how to do that for you. And by the way, I'll build you a website." So thankfully, I married a geek who could create such an animal, this wonderful, huge website that eventually won a big travel agency industry award, which was very cool way back when. But I didn't know where to start. I just knew I wanted to do it. And so I started doing research, and I found a local agency that was taking new people and training them on how to do the job. And I connected with them. It was kind of interesting, because I worked with him for a couple of years, and then the owner told me that she wanted to retire and she wanted to sell the company. I had started getting really into it. I was pretty successful at it. Chris had built the website. I was creating a new way of it. Was this is way back when. This is like 15, 16 years ago when the internet just started to be something that people would turn to for travel, to actually book things or talk to people about it. And when she said she wanted to retire, I said, well, we don't have money. I don't have a lot of money. I can't buy this from you. And she said, well, how about we work a deal out that in sweat equity you work and you buy it little by little as you go on through the years. Well, I made that arrangement. This tells you how much faith I had in my ability and the people around me to help realize this dream. It was September 19th, 2001, 8 days after 9/11, when nobody was traveling and the world stopped spinning for all of us. And we all had to take a deep breath and kind of reevaluate what we were doing as human beings in the world and with our families and what we were doing and where we're going. And I stepped up and I signed a purchase agreement on September 19th, 2001 to spend 5 years of my life building this big company from what was a very small company into what I envisioned could be something that could be very useful and soul feeding, not just a way to make a living, but to really make me happy. I think that through all the things I had done in my life, and especially when I'd worked in the corporations for that 5 years or so that I did, working my way up from the first person on the in the call center lines up to a director, it was gratifying. It paid the bills. It was a lot of money. It was a lot of perks and all the things that you get when you're doing a really good job like that. But it wasn't really making me happy or feeding my soul. And so jumping into travel and helping people and being able to make a difference on so many levels besides just helping people with their vacations, but changing the lives of people who wanted to do this as well and bringing them on as agents. Or one of the things in our current corporate charter is giving back. We give a certain percentage of profits back to charities every year. So there's a whole bunch of different levels that over the years have made me happy. Picking back up on that story, I'd purchased that agency almost 5 years. 5 years was when I was supposed to vest at 90%. I had owned 65% of the agency at that time. And the partner and I had some disagreements, you could say. And it's not that anybody is bad or wrong. There were just two different philosophies. I really felt that agents should be treated differently because if they were happy, they would then treat customers a much better way, and it would just be creating relationships. She had a different outlook and was, unfortunately, in my opinion, looking more towards the dollar she can make tomorrow as opposed to my business philosophy that's looking at the money that you can make 5 years from now if you invest. So we had a parting of ways, and then I left that agency and I started from scratch, from the very scratch. And that was almost 10 years ago. We'll be 10 years old. It's so hard to say. 10 years old next October, October 15. So there is the short abridged version of my life from 18 to where I am now, and I'm not going to tell you what that is.
It's like 24, isn't it?
Yeah, 29. 20, thank you. Yeah, 29. That would be it.
Well, you kind of already delved in a little bit with, you know, what it means to you, what travel and helping others mean to you, but I don't know if I should even ask at this point, but what does it?
It's just you and I, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what does travel mean to you?
Well, it's so funny because it's a love that was inbred into my bloodstream by my father. He had a love for travel, and he did some just amazing things. And going back to that, I'm an only child. I have no brothers or sisters. So I was like doted upon by my father. And he would do the strangest things. Like when I would come over to his house. My parents were divorced. They were both remarried. The people they remarried have no children. I'm it between four parents. So if that tells you anything right there about my my psychoses. I would go over there on a Friday night, and he would decide that that was going to be Japan night. And so he would arrange on the living room floor a table that he'd gone and purchased and then cut off the legs. So they're really small. So you had to like be in, it was like being in a Japanese restaurant with a table down to the floor. So you had to sit on the floor. And then he would make this amazing Japanese meal, and he would have chopsticks, and we would listen to music, and he would talk about the culture of Japan. On our vacations every year, he would pick a state, and we would get in the car, and we would drive around the state and see everything like in Oregon. You would see everything from the Shakespearean festival to the ghost towns that are on the east side of the state and the sea lion caves and the vortex and Portland. I mean, so every year we would cover a state. And I just learned that I was okay with hotels. I kind of like that whole travel thing and experiencing other things that I didn't get to see myself on a daily basis. So travel became part of me from an early age, I would say. And my father, of course, is also very responsible for my love of Disney, which popped up and created this huge thing that I now call Mouse Fan Travel at the end of the day. But it means opportunity. It means living life, I think. Travel does that to me too. It allows me to just have those cultural experiences and maybe a much better understanding of other cultures, just from the willingness to get out there and see what other people do and other people think. Has a great impact on me and my outlook on life.
Wow, that's pretty profound. And I'm glad I did ask, because you went in pretty deep there.
I'm an open book. Ask me anything. I'm not shy. We'll put it that way. I'm not shy.
Well, I don't think you could be to do everything you've done and do it in the way that you've gone about doing it, building the with the community rather than just being perched up somewhere in a tower and looking down and like, oh, that's nice. Buy from me.
Yeah, you can't do that. This business, and almost at this point with the internet that takes us away from those one-on-one relationships, I think that society in general has disconnected from each other personally. And I think that there's great opportunity in business and in just relationships if you spend the time to personally connect with people. I think the internet and all of us in our phones, and yes, I'm an Android user, by the way. Sorry, Scopa. all the things that they enhance our lives, but I think we have a tendency to kind of let it take over our lives too. So in business in particular, I have tried to instill in my team to use those tools to its maximum, because there's some people who are very internet-centric and very email-centric and frankly don't want to talk to another human being because our lives are so busy. So what time we do have, we try to give to our families. But then there are other people who an email to them might as well be something in a flyer that's sitting in a mailbox, because they just don't look at it and they prefer to have that one-on-one connection. So I really appreciate the different ways that the people communicate and the things that are available to us. But I think those relationships and those one-on-one times and mixing in with especially the Disney fan community is so important, which is, you know, why I'm on the road so much, because it's very important to be in front of people face to face and saying, hi, I am the face. I am the company. I'm here to help you. If there's something wrong, I am the person that will help make it right. So I think that those relationships are extremely important.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way, you know, a lot of small business works. And doing it on a larger scale, it's imperative that you be out there and put your face out there. And it gives a level of trust that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Very true. And I think that was one of the early on decisions that I had to make. I saw some of my competitors doing things in different ways. And once again, no one is bad or wrong. It is just different ways that people go about it, which is why there's enough business to go around. I saw some of my competitors creating their own communities and trying to be the content provider and the fulfiller. And instead, I took on a different tactic. I decided, you know what? I'm going to partner with the best that the communities have to offer. so that they're doing 100% of what they do. They go out on the internet, they do podcasts, they do message boards, they do communities. And of course, back when I started this, Facebook wasn't a big deal. So people had their own community boards and their own bulletin boards and their own chat rooms. So I decided to rely on people that were doing that really well and in alignment with my thought processes and how I thought the philosophies matched, basically, that we were all skipping down the same path, apparently. People like Deb Wills of AllEars.net, she and I have been friends for years and years and years, and I've been working together with her since the last business that I was in the other company. As a matter of fact, it was forging of that relationship. And then, of course, Jennifer Marks of Passporter, another one that was right there at the very beginning with me. I had my toes into a little thing called MouseFest a long time ago. I was the very first sponsor of MouseFest and saw it through to its last days as well. But it's forging those relationships. And, of course, WDW Today and WDW Radio, working really closely with people who are doing it so well and creating content and bringing content to different types of audiences. I really wanted to just invest in them and help them bring that content to people because it costs money to do that. A lot of people don't realize how much money it costs to, you know, produce things and keep things going. So instead of me trying to recreate the wheel, that was probably the best business decision I made in the whole process, was partnering with really good people doing really good work for really good reasons.
I think that's part of being an entrepreneur, you know, recognizing what people do well and putting them in the best spot for them to succeed. And I mean, that's really what you did, except they're not your employees, they're your partners.
Right.
On those cases. I mean, obviously it worked out really well for you. It gave you a lot of time, I'm sure, to concentrate on the business side of things instead of like, okay, how do I put out another podcast? Well, how do I do a podcast? How do I do a website and maintain a website and a chat board and, you know,
yeah,
get even more people involved? And it can get very hairy just on that end of it alone. So I applaud you for your recognition of what other people were doing and not saying, well, it's got to be the all me, all, you know, all the time show.
See, and that's what I don't want. And thank you for saying that. I don't want it to be me. I always want it to be about the partners and the people and the agents and the guests, the people on the front lines. For the longest time, I was really happy to just kind of be in the background doing the work that I did and making others make magic, which is one of my favorite quotes, is it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And I try to live by that, to make people go, oh, how did they do that? Which is why I'm so into the events and the special surprises and the things that I love to do. One of the things that I am happy for, why I made that decision to work with the partners, is it also keeps me in check. They're not tied to me. They're not my employees. I can't tell them what to do. We have to have meetings and say, you know, how's the best way of doing this? Are we making you happy? Are we filling your needs? Is there anything else that we can do to make your podcast or your website more magical for your guests? So it's really nice to have that partnership scenario, because that really drives me to be better.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely does hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say inspires you?
Wow. That is such a loaded question right there. So many things inspire me. When I was young, music really inspired me. Music and lyrics and artistry, talent is very inspiring to me. People who have can-do attitudes, or who see a problem and aren't the first to complain about the problem, but they'll say, that's an issue, and I think I can do better, or I think I can fix that. I've tried to surround myself with people who are very positive thinkers. And even though they may not be able to fix something immediately, they have an idea of how to make something better. People like that are very inspirational to me. Wow. I think that people who have dreams and step up to them are certainly inspirational. People who see something that they want to do and they know is going to feed their soul or make them happy, and not really sure how to do it. And they just kind of jump off the cliff and make it happen. It's something that takes a lot of drive and dedication. And when you have that kind of dedication, that's inspiring.
That's the mantra of the show here.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, I've been very lucky in what I do to meet people who meet that criteria and put me in awe every day of the things that they bring to the table and the support and efforts that they put forward to for others, not just themselves, but for others. Almost everybody around me has some sort of charity they support or some sort of goal that they have in mind to get to that isn't all about them, but about the people around them. And that's very fulfilling, for sure.
When you were getting to the point of, okay, I need to go start my own company.
Yeah.
How was that received by your family?
You know what? It's one of those things that my family, sadly, my father, again, who created this. And here, let me take you into a different direction real fast to give you another hint of my father. The way he started this, he started buying me albums. I'm going to take you way off track because it's more fun that way.
It's your show. Don't worry.
He started buying me way back when they had Disneyland had albums for their attractions. And he bought me one for the Haunted Mansion so I wouldn't be scared, and one for the Country Bears and It's a Small World. And started making me listen to those when I was like six. When I was 7 years old, he surprised me and took me to Disneyland for my birthday. And it was the most amazing thing to have that father-daughter connection. And then, of course, I didn't go back until my 21st birthday. And I was on the road working for a rock band, and we did a gig in L.A., actually north of L.A. And it was the night before my 21st birthday. It hit midnight. I packed up the car. I told him I was going to take 2 weeks off. I drove down to Disneyland, and I parked, and I slept in the car that night so that on my 21st birthday, I could be at the gates of Disneyland. How funny is that? So my father's... Yeah, my father's the cause of all this. He and my mother, who are my family. I have a stepmother and stepfather as well. But my mother and father both passed on since I started this. So my father was not able to see the fruits of his labor of all the things that he put into my head. So unfortunately, this wasn't something I was able to share with them. My stepfather, however, was one of those that's like, you're going where again, you know, type Disney thing. Because, you know, there's people that get it and people that don't get it in your family. And if there's anybody out there that's listening right now who's one of the Disney fans, freaks, files, whatever you want to call us, you always have someone in your family who doesn't quite get it. But he always said to me, as long as you're happy and as long as you're doing the things that make you happy and you're safe, you're whatever you want to do. My husband is the one that stood up behind me when I was broken. I mean, when that whole thing went down and the partnership broke up, unfortunately, there were some things that were said about me that were not true just so that somebody could retain their business. I was very broken and I was not ready to get up on my feet. I was very happy rolled up in a ball and in bed for a week if I wanted to be. I was very happy with that existence. And it was my husband that said, hey, you know, you did this once, you created this once, you can do this again. And this is what we need to do. So what's going to make you happy this time? How do we do this? In my family, he was the one, he was the rock. He was the person that said, let's make this happen again. And this time it's on your terms. And then I had another person who's not technically family, but the funny part about this Disney community here, I'm going to just totally go on another tangent for you. The funny thing about this Disney fan community is that over the years, I have met the most amazing people that today are my family. I consider several of them closer to me than brothers and sisters that I could imagine that I could have had. And one of those people is Annette Owens, who was with me in the other company. She was actually my client at the other company. And looked at me one day virtually over the phone and said, you know, I'd kind of like to maybe do what you do. Can you teach me how? And I'm like, sure, I can show you how to do this. And if you have a passion for something, the rest can be learned. It's the passion. That's the part that's hard. And so she came on board. I trained her. She became such an incredible travel agent. vacation planner. She did an amazing job for her clients. And so when all this went down at the other company, she talked to me and said, I'm with you. Where do you want to go? How do you want to start this? What do you want to do? And without my husband and Annette both under me saying, I'm going to lift you up and we're going to do this together, I don't know if I could have done it, quite honestly. Their support, though, it just took a little bit. It's kind of like when you're trying to rev the engine a little bit and you have to turn it over and it's just kind of doing it, but not really. But once it turns over, it's ready to go. That's kind of how the company was. When MEI Travel, Mouse Fan Travel was ready to take off, she and I had a pact. We said, you know what? If it takes us 5 years to get where we were, then that's what it does. We're just going to do this slowly, do it right, do it our way, and just make people happy and not worry too much about the rest. And it grew a lot faster than we even anticipated. So there's a long answer to your very short question.
Yeah, it's not a problem at all. That actually takes us into the next question, which is, what steps did you take to get started? So you got Annette Owens on board, you got family members on board. What was the first step? What did you do?
You know, and this is something I like to get into a little bit, because I know that probably many of your listeners are probably thinking, hey, I booked vacations for my friends and family. I could do this too. And, you know, frankly, one of the reasons that I wanted to start this company was to provide an outlet, a place where people could fulfill this particular dream and make vacations for people without having to, you know, go to a company and go to an office every day. So I have created a network across the country of vacation planners who work from their homes, some part-time, some full-time, and have trained them from the bottom up. And it's really interesting because the travel industry doesn't have one body that governs it that says, okay, you have now fit all the criteria, therefore you are anointed a travel agent. There are laws and rules and regulations in different states, but no one entity that says, yes, you're legal to book travel. So the travel industry is in a little bit of a state of flux, sadly, and there's a lot of guests out there who they may see somebody has travel agency on a website. It could even say that they're earmarked, which means authorized Disney vacation planner or a specialist in sandals or a specialist in Royal Caribbean. That doesn't mean necessarily that they've got all the legal licenses to do so. That always scares me a little bit, because sometimes people are so well-meaning to get out there and say, yeah, I'm going to sell travel. And they'll throw up a website and they'll put their shingle out there and say, call me or book with me. But they may not have errors and omissions insurance. They may not be licensed in California. And a lot of people are going, well, I don't live in California. That doesn't matter. In six states, if you have a website that could possibly be advertising to their residents, you have to be registered in those states to be legal. So these are things that aren't that well known, and the suppliers aren't responsible for it, because when a travel agent comes to them and say, yes, I want to book travel, it's not the responsibility. It's all on the agent themselves. So there's some background to what I had to do was to dive in, research. I went, luckily I'd had a lot of knowledge from the former company because we were, you know, 100% legal over there. I wanted to make sure that our clients were well protected, that we were well protected. But then I had to register and start from scratch and do it from square one. So I had to get out there, get involved in ASTA, which is the American Society of Travel Agents, and find out from their legal people, what do I need to do to be legal? So if something horrific happens during somebody's vacation, I have taken all of the steps and done all the due diligence to make sure that we're covered, the client is covered, everything is the way it should be. So that's pretty much how I started. I had to look at Chris and say, I need a new website, honey, because I don't want to look anything like what we had done before. Work with Annette to figure out, okay, what jobs can you do? What can I do? How can we build this thing? And then doing a lot of due diligence and a lot of research to make sure that we were setting up the business in such a way that it was functioning as a responsible business and not just a hobby.
How long did it take you to accomplish all of that?
Well, I had to legally create the new company in June. And then by October is when we officially opened the door. So it was a few months, I want to make sure everything is correct. I have several different business philosophies, and one of them is I don't want to be the fastest. I want to be correct. I don't want to be, you know, I don't need to be first. I want to be correct. I want to be right. So one of the things that it takes is patience and perseverance and looking at all of the detail and making sure, especially if you're taking on the responsibility of somebody's vacation. And while that, you know, it's not rocket science and it's not brain surgery, but still there are people out there who dream about a vacation, whether it be Disney or Royal Caribbean or any of the other fantastic opportunities that are around this globe. Some of them may take one vacation every 3 years, and they save and save and save and plan and plan and plan. So when you take on that responsibility, it's truly a responsibility because they may not have an opportunity like that again for another 2 or 3 years or more. So we wanted to make sure that we had all of the resources. We were training the agents that worked with us in such a way that we weren't just handing them our identification numbers and saying, here, go book travel. You know, give us a check and go book travel. We wanted to make sure that they knew what they were doing. So if a client comes back and says, well, you know, I love the idea of a Disney cruise, but we just can't afford that this year. What else is there that's going to fit our needs? They had all the resources, all the knowledge, and all of the preparation to be able to turn that around and say, here are your options. These are other things that you can do that are going to be a great experience for you and better in your budget.
What's the biggest roadblock you hit?
Oh, wow. All right. We're going to go there. I would say there are several of those too, like in any business. You have things that you have to bump into and then figure out a way around them. It takes a lot of education to do this job, and sometimes you have to invest in yourself. And time is a big one too, where I think, you know, you follow me around on Twitter every once in a while, and I happen to travel a little bit, which takes me away from my family and takes me away from things. But you have to be prepared and know that that's just part of playing on the playground. I think that one of the things that is very difficult for us is when you do have the hobbyists out there who are trying to sell travel, and they really don't know all of the ins and outs or what's like those little responsibility things, because the responsibility costs money. So some of those can be roadblocks that are in there. A challenge is also finding the right people. We have probably somewhere around 100 or more applications a quarter that come to us unsolicited, which is great because that just shows that there's a lot of people with passion out there. But we're looking for a specific type of person that is not only passionate, but understands the business side of it as well and is willing to take on those responsibilities. So there's a ton of roadblocks. I could probably do a show for you just on roadblocks. And, you know, and Disney's one of them. They can cause some issues and some things, but they can also create great opportunity. And I think that's one of the things that in business, if you got that outlook of, okay, there's a problem, I will figure out a way around this. If you can sit there and look at it as a possible opportunity, then you're a true entrepreneur. If you just say, okay, I can't deal with this, I can't make money on this anymore, I'm out, then that's going to tell you how long your existence is going to be in the industry.
I think that's a very telling quote for anybody in any industry.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's going to happen. And I think, especially in travel planning, I will, because of course it's just you and me, right? And I can share these things.
No one listens to this anyway.
Yeah. Geez. Yeah, this is going to get me in so trouble when people listen to this. No, I'm kidding. It's those little things like you got to realize if you're one of those people that say, I plan all the time for my friends and family, I can do this. Yeah, you probably can. However, you got to also remember that there are people who have huge expectations about their vacation. And again, you're taking that responsibility. I have been yelled at for 30 minutes from somebody who was so upset because it rained in Florida during their vacation. And, you know, at first you just want to go, it rains everywhere. But you know what, honestly, and I know this from my customer service experience, that it most likely wasn't that at all. It was probably something else that happened in their vacation. Something else that happened in their family dynamic. Something that went wrong, but that was the thing they chose to focus on and obsess on. And you just have to help them through. If you don't have patience with people or patience with things, you're not going to be long for this industry as well. You've got to really understand that their vacation or that relationship doesn't start with the credit card and doesn't end when they get home. It starts months and months and months ahead of time. As you know from Disney in particular, 180 days, you better know everywhere that you want to eat. And 60 days ahead, you better know exactly what you want to ride on now. So you've really got to take the time to get to know people and be on the lookout for the best deals and know that when you've booked somebody and it's January, that most likely somewhere around October or May, free dining is going to come out and you're going to be on hold for 8 hours waiting to apply that code for somebody. Me on the West Coast, when I'm actually in the Seattle area, I have clients that I help all the time, but the call center opens at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So I'm up at 3:30 in the morning and I'm in line and on hold with Disney waiting to apply a code because I take that responsibility extremely seriously. And I don't want to be the person to say, well, I couldn't get myself up before 7 o'clock in the morning to do that for you. So it's important to me to treat every single vacation like it's my own, like it's my family's, like it's how I would book it if it was for me. And that I've hopefully instilled that in my team and the people around me. And if I've done a good job and I have picked the right people, I don't need to tell them that because they're going to feel the same way. And I'm happy to say that I'm blessed with the most incredible people around me that blow my mind every day with the way that they handle things and the things they do for clients.
You know, you sucked all the "I want to be a travel agent" right out of me.
Well, with everything, there's always, another side of the fence. And you just have to be able to accept every piece of what you're jumping into. The fun, the great stuff, a lot of people will say, well, you get to go to all these, you know, the media events and this, all the stuff that you get to do and all the parties. And it's like, yeah, that is part of it. But let me tell you about the tedious hours on hold and the other things that make it a job, because it really is a job at the end of the day. But it's a job that I love, and I can't think of anything else I'd rather do.
Well, thank you. Because, I mean, I've used MEI Mouse Fan Travel, and it's amazing that people have the patience to sit on hold. And it's also amazing that Disney doesn't just let you log into, like, your own personal portal and click, 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 click. Okay, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, you kind of remember that Disney is a very large corporation, and they have other things to put their investments in, and sometimes the things, and that you were asking about Roblox, and this is exactly what I mean about Disney sometimes being one, is it like within any company, you have to look at the budget and figure out where you put your money, where the priority has to go for that money, and what's going to be the biggest payoff, either in dollars back to you or in people, how is that going to come back to you in ROI and return on investment? And when you look at it that way, for them, the booking engine where you should be able to just log in and automatically adjust it just hasn't been high on the priority list. So you have 1 or 2 days out of every time an offer comes out that you have anywhere from a 1 to 8 hour hold time. Most likely it's a 1 or 2 when you've got those rolled out, but when it comes like to something like free dining, which everybody's like, it's something free, I've got to have it. And you have to, it takes time because you have to look at the offer code that you've already got associated with the person's vacation that you booked and compare it to all the other codes that are out there or come out, because sometimes free dining is not the best offer. It could be the last offer code actually money-wise comes out better in your favor. So there's a lot of times that you can find that out after holding for an hour and a half and go, oh, well, what they had is actually saving them $1,600, and this would just be free dining, which would only cost $700. So let's keep this. We can add dining and still save them $700. One of the things in our company that I'm so proud of is when you do have those 1, 2, 3 hour hold times and everyone's trying to get in, I've turned it into my agency that we're going to be proud of that, because a lot of people don't realize we don't charge extra money. So we don't charge service fees. We're paid by Disney. So if you book with me and it's a $1,000 package, it's going to be $1,000 direct from Disney. They just give us a cut. So that's how we're paid. So if you apply a code, that package is going to go down in price, which means we're going to be paid less. But to me, I am happy about that, because then my phone call, the best phone call in the world, is to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I just saved you $1,000 on your package. And that circles back around to that relationships deal. That's the person that I save $1,000 for is probably going to come back to me again, because I want to make sure that they get the best deal, the best rate, and I handle it the best way. And so in the agency, we have this thing where we're all on Yahoo Messenger, and we have a community board that we talk on. So you're sitting on hold, and I ran a contest. And I do this every so once in a while. Who saves the client the most money? So people are posting, I saved mine 800, and I saved mine 900, and I saved mine 100, or 1,001. And it's like, this is awesome, because you're getting people excited for doing what they should be doing. And that's making sure that the clients get the best that's available to them. Another little business piece there.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, because, you know, word of mouth will spread a lot quicker the bigger you can save them. I mean, heck, insurance companies make their whole living off of that.
Yeah, exactly. And along those same lines where you're saying where people will talk, I think that's where one of the places that we're kind of successful as well is we've put, like Disney deciding to where to put their money, or suppliers deciding, we've decided to put a lot of our money in events. So we do special events with our partners that we will sponsor and put a lot of money behind them, because we will help create experiences that a normal guest going to the parks can't do on their own. So we will create these things, like, and you've been to a couple of them, like when we do reunion in December, for people who book our package and who are clients of ours, we throw a party every year where we shut down Osborne Lights. And instead of it being 15,000 of your best friends shoulder to shoulder trying to enjoy the lights, there's like 150 of us on the street where you can literally do cartwheels up and down the street without hitting anybody. And it's those types of experiences that if we can bring those, and that wow factor and the behind the velvet rope, if there's any opportunity for me to do that, that's what I'm going to do. I think I really enjoy that most of all. Like, I think you were there the first year we did that, and everyone knew that they were going to the lights, but no one really knew about this little stop that we were going to do at Toy Story Mania. So we're walking down towards the lights, and the guides all point everybody into Toy Story, which back then there was still a 2-hour wait for. The park was closed, so everybody went to go walking on to this thing that they didn't get to do because it was too much time out of their day. And I was way in the back, and I could hear people cheering and that sound of, are you kidding me? And it was almost like having 158-year-olds all being given the keys to a candy store. And I choke up just thinking about it. I was back there. My eyes were welling up, and I was like this little kid back there crying, because the effect that it had on everybody else made me so happy. That was one of the things that I took away from that, going, you know what? If I can create that feeling of surprise and awe and wonder and happiness in everybody that I touch, then that's a way to live a life.
That was a very awesome night. I mean, because it was more than even just that, because we had a Fantasmic dessert party, and then we got, you know, to go inside to, was it Disney Junior or Junior Disney? I'm not sure. I don't have any kids, so.
Disney Junior.
And then, you had like a big event. You gave away prizes there, and then you went to, you know, then Toy Story, and then finally the lights, and that was quite an event.
That was one of my favorites. It's like asking you, you know, who's your favorite child. It's very difficult, because the events and the special things can take anywhere from a few months to a few years. I mean, I just did an event just a couple of weeks ago that we started talking about doing 3 years ago. It takes sometimes that much time to do the planning and to get the approvals and to you know, go through all of the hoops that you have to go through to make these things happen. So at any given time, I'm in either pre-production, in planning, in pre-con, or in execution of any event going on at any time. So like right now, my plans are in 2015 and even 2016 for some of the things that are going on. So it's so hard to keep my mouth shut about, and I'm so excited every time we start working on something. It's like, oh my gosh, that's going to be the coolest thing. And I can't wait to see everybody's faces, but then I can't say anything.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to grill you for any of those. This isn't that kind of show.
Awesome.
But I am going to ask you, what's the biggest disappointment you've had so far with being a travel agent and having your own company?
You know what? I don't think I've had any disappointments per se. Maybe just some challenges that I didn't expect. Being the head of the company, there's no one else to hand things off to. So it's not like when you're working in a company, it's like, I'm taking a week off and you're just going to have to go figure out what to do with the to-dos that need to be done for the week. Because the world doesn't stop turning when you actually want to take a vacation. So it's really difficult because you lose weekends. You end up working 16-hour days are very typical for me. I would say 14 to 16 is extremely typical when I'm in the office. But my husband has told people, I get up and it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I hear my wife in the office. I come home from my job and it's 6 o'clock at night and my wife is still in the office. But now there's things like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on. So he comes running up and says, okay, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on. You have to leave the office. So at least I've got something to draw me out. That can, the long hours and with nobody to hand stuff off to is probably one of the biggest challenges. When clients are traveling, the clock doesn't stop. If somebody is, and this is actually what happened to me, we were on an Adventures by Disney in the Southwest, the Grand Canyon, all of that going on down there. There was a hurricane that was coming up through the Gulf, and I was in a hotel, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and it was a client who had extended her stay but didn't tell me. So I had no idea that she was in the zone because I thought that she had left several days earlier, so I wasn't concerned. And they were stuck. The hurricane was coming. The flights were grounded. She didn't know how to get out or what to do. And so the day that I was supposed to be touring with clients on the Adventures by Disney, I was in the hotel room trying to help with the help of one of the suppliers that we use. They did an airlift. They sent in a 757 to land in Mexico and pick up all the clients that had booked through that supplier. So those types of things that happen, it's a 24/7 job because you have to be pretty much on call for anything that happens. But again, that's the responsibility that you take on when you take on the job.
Wow. Well, I mean, I was, you know, I hope she enjoyed her time there before the hurricane got there.
Yes, yes, she sure did. But those are little things that you don't think about. You know, hurricanes do sometimes come through Orlando and you've got clients out on ships all the time. And, you know, one of the biggest things for people who haven't cruised before, they're always thinking, oh, I don't want to be out there during hurricane season. Well, actually, being on a ship is probably one of the best places to be because they can steer somewhere else. They can steer around it. You can't exactly pick up and move Disney World when it's heading for you. So those do present challenges. But again, you take it on. You have your resources. If you know what you're doing, you pick the right partners. And not just, you know, partners in the Disney community, but partners in your business. The cheapest is not always best. That's a great example of the supplier that we used. They tend to run maybe $50 more a package when you're doing things like Mexico or the Caribbean. But that's why, because my gosh, if you have a problem and you've got their little trip insurance on the side that's added to their packages, they will send an airlift in to pick you up and get you out of there if there's a hurricane coming. So picking great partners is key.
If you could trade places with a celebrity for one day, who would it be and why?
Oh, you know what? I have thought about this because I actually heard this asked of somebody on a show. It was probably Jimmy Fallon asking somebody at one point. But you know, the funny thing is, and not for the reasons that you're going to think of when I say it, Angelina Jolie. And again, not because she's married to Brad Pitt, although that is probably a pretty good thing on the other side of, you know, if you have to be married to somebody, Brad Pitt wouldn't be bad. I think it's because, first of all, she's incredibly beautiful, and her humanitarian work, to me, is one of the most outstanding things. She has a name for herself. She has a wonderful family, but she's not hanging out at the clubs in Hollywood every day. She's taken her name and she's used it in ways to draw attention to causes and things that will help people. I very much admire that. Extremely talented. She might have had a little bit of a bad girl reputation in her youth. I get that. I may have been there at one time. But I just admire the way she handled her breast cancer. I admire the way that she handles the UN scenario that she's in. And she's still extremely talented and, of course, married to Brad Pitt. How about that? I have to pick just one. What is this just one thing? I know. 3 hour show. You know what? That would be fine. I'm actually enjoying this conversation. Oh, this one's hard. This was something that I'm still in kind of awe of still. We had an opportunity with WDW Radio to have Richard Sherman on one of our cruises. And I was completely amazed with that man to begin with, all the things that he did and everything he saw and doing the whole Mary Poppins thing and he and his brother, all the things that they wrote. And again, the artistry, the thing I admire the most and getting through challenges. And before we went on the cruise, we had an opportunity for just a few of us, Mr. Sherman, his wonderful wife, Elizabeth, who I got to know over the phone while we were planning her cruise, and Lou Mangiello and his wife and myself. We went to the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's, and we had one of the 6-hour long dinners of just us. There's nobody else in that room. It was just us. So we got to ask questions that we probably wouldn't have asked in public forums. And he was right in the middle of consulting on the film Saving Mr. Banks at the time. He actually had to leave the consulting gig to come do our cruise and then go back. So we got to hear stories about the movie and about, you know, things that he experienced himself during that time and how Walt reacted to things during that time. And just to hear those firsthand accounts from the man who was there was just jaw-dropping. And to be able to have that conversation with him on a one-on-one basis or across the table is still one of the most inspiring favorite memories that I have at this point. And I'm sure there's many more to come, but that was definitely a biggie.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And again, there's lots of things about this job that, you know, are crazy, like being up at 2 o'clock in the morning, airlifting people out of Mexico. But then you've got stuff like that, that I just put my brain around and go, I feel so blessed and so lucky to have these opportunities. And that was, again, certainly one of them.
You know, and it's great, too, because he had it fresh in his mind, I'm sure, because of the fact that, you know, with the movie and all.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what was so neat to hear. And we got to say, so, you know, did that really happen? Because some of the trailer stuff had been coming out at that point, kind of teaser trailers had come out. And we were asking, is that real? And he's like, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So you kind of knew that it wasn't just Hollywood fluff, that this was really the story and really what happened in some of these scenes. And so, yeah, it was very cool.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
Wow. You know, one thing that I've learned over time, going from fighting fires to running an ambulance to answering a phone to doing travel for people, is opportunity presents itself in the most amazing ways. And if you have the courage to recognize that a door is opening, have the courage to step through it. So, you know, when things have come along, like I have always been extremely happy to be in the background, to when I was, you know, doing the pyrotechnics and the lighting for rock bands, I was all in black. Nobody got to see me. I did my job. I left. No one knew my name. No one knew anything. And I was fine with that. And when I worked with some of the Disney communities, I was fine doing the behind the scenes stuff. But then there's been some opportunities that opened up that have allowed me to get to know more people. And I just had to have the courage to kind of step through the door and go, okay, I'll be on that podcast. Or sure, I'll stand up in front of 500 people and tell them how to be a travel agent. And that took some courage and some doing. But for me, I think I need to always keep my eyes open for whatever door opens in front of me next. I'm hoping that I can grow this company into something that is larger than it is now, but I'm very conscious about growing it too fast. If I had just been one of those that said, oh, I'll just take on any agent that wants to join us, we could probably be up to 300 agents now, but not doing a good job at it. Because I feel that if you grow too fast and you don't have a good handle on that growth, you will not provide the level of service that I expect. I have a very high level of expectation of the product that we turn around. And if you grow too fast, too far, and you just take on people without training them properly, if you just dive in without doing your research, you're not going to do anybody any good at the end of the day. So I'm hoping to still grow slowly. I'm hoping to find quality people who share my business philosophy so that they can carry it forward. I have a couple of holy grails that I'm after in terms of events that I have to pull off the event before I can retire. So I got a lot of years in front of me for that. I think if I just stay the steady course, keep working with partners, grow, look for talent. I have to do a better job of finding more quality talent because I would like to grow just in the way that I'd like to. Slowly, steady, and again, being right, not being first or biggest.
You know, it's amazing that you have an Android phone, not an Apple phone.
Not amazing at all. All right, I will tell you right now. I have an iPad, and I'm good with that, but I tried. I really tried. When the last iPhone came out, when the 5 came out, I said, okay, I'm going to try this little iPhone bandwagon because everyone going, iPhone's the best thing ever. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And I went down, I turned in my little Droid, and I got an iPhone. I brought it home, and I tried it for 2 weeks. On day 13, I couldn't wait to get back to Verizon and hand it back to them and get a new phone. And I think it's for me. I know I've got all these people going, no, it's the best. So again, each his own. Everybody has their own little thing. For me, it was the email, because the email app that was on the iPhone at the time, and which is on my iPad, I have folders upon folders upon folders upon folders, because each client has a folder, each event has a folder. So if I need to hurry up and go find a folder, I'm going to be there 5 minutes as I scroll like mad with my little finger trying to find the folder, which in an Android, they're all expand and contract. So I can easily find it just as I do in Outlook or Gmail, wherever I'm looking at. So I'm sorry, iPhone users, it didn't work for me, but I'm really happy that you iPhone users finally got screens you can look at.
And yet, I have massive hands, and I still have trouble holding it.
Yep, technology is a wonderful thing. And I mean, I did everything from streaming in the parks to I really enjoy social media. All the travel that I do, typically I'm on the road 26 to 30 weeks out of the year. So being able to share the things that I see, the things that I do, I know that there are people out there who only get to Disney once every couple of years. So being able to say, and here's what the new rooms look like at the Caribbean Beach, or here's what the new lounge looks like at Beach Club, you can bring that to them so that maybe they feel a little bit closer, even though they can't get there until next year. So I really enjoy social media.
Is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I would love to counsel more people, find more people who are really wanting to do this vacation planner job. I get a lot of excitement out of making people's dreams come true when they want to experience it or when they want to do the job. Same with the clients. When clients say, you know, I've got a little girl. She's finally turning 8 years old, and she really wants to meet Ariel. Can you help me make that happen? I love that. I absolutely love that. So I think that dreaming is great. You have to be willing to take on, again, that responsibility, do the education, do it right, get out there and experience and check out the world for anybody who's, you know, not wanting to be a vacation planner. But even for us Disney files, there are other places besides Disney. You can experience other pieces in the world. If you want to do Disney, try an Adventures by Disney. Go to London, go to Ireland, go to Scotland. Find some of these other little gems of experiences that are out there. Don't be afraid to travel. It's so important to soak in what's available to you out there in terms of culture and experiences. And there's all kinds of ways of doing it. Adventures by Disney, Disney itself. You can always go to Disneyland Paris, which, you know, don't twist my arm. Otherwise, I'll have to go to Paris. but I think that that's really important for people to just open themselves up to the opportunities and take them. Because honestly, and I just learned that this week again, none of us know how much time we really have on this earth. Always live each day as if it was the last day of your dream. Seriously.
Yeah, I've kind of adopted that in the last few months. I could not wake up tomorrow, so do what I want today. I mean, plan for tomorrow, but
yeah,
do
exactly
what I want today.
Absolutely. And then, you know, again, a big thanks to all of those who believed in me and support my efforts and my team, because every client, some people will say, well, I just booked that room only on my own because I didn't want to bother you with it. But don't ever think that way, because that's what we're here to do. You feed our souls when we're able to help you. And every dollar counts for us, because then we can turn that around and help others. We can help the Disney community and support their efforts. We can turn it into events that supports people. So for us, you know, every single booking, a room only at Art of Animation is just as important to us as 2 weeks at the Grand Floridian on a premium package. We really do care about what you bring to us, and it's really important. So, you know, thanks again to those who believed in me and allowed me to make my dream a reality. I can't be more grateful. It's so important to, in the business philosophy that I have, of giving back. And one of the things when I look for new partners, or you know, I get people all the time that come to me and they say, I've started a podcast or I've started a website. There are things that I look for before I sponsor somebody. And one of the big ones is, what level do they give back? That we're chartered. We have a little piece in our company charter that says there's a certain percentage of money that we will give to charitable efforts every year. It's exceedingly important to me that we give back. When we have so much and we're so blessed in what we do, we want to make sure that we can make a difference to somebody else's life. So I'm so blessed to be partnered with people like Deb Wills and her breast cancer awareness. Of course, Lou Mangiello has the wonderful Dream Team, which supports Make-A-Wish. And then, of course, Stacey Aswad and I have partnered several times on animal charities. She and I are kindred spirits when it comes to animals. And we found that out just because somebody had connected us. And I was like, oh my gosh, you've got this animal charity thing. Let me do this. So at least six times a year, we run a month promotion where we are supporting a charity of choice, so that any bookings made within that month, the profits, a portion of the profits will go to the named charity. For October, of course, it's Breast Cancer Awareness for Deb's charity. Give Kids the World is another one that's on my radar. But it's not just those charities. We also have Ryman Arts, which is Marty Sklar's baby for the arts, where they do educational grants for kids to learn their craft and follow their dreams of being artists. So I'm always looking for those types of charitable efforts that we can help. We have a list on our website of those that we support, and I'm adding to them all the time.
That's awesome. I know that I've done some donating to Give Kids the World, and hope to, and more in the future once I start making some money.
And, you know, again, it's that whole thing of how your heart works, what you think about. It's great. And of course, we're in a society that we have to make money to support ourselves and pay our bills and keep a roof over our heads. But to really look at the big picture and look beyond your walls and know that the world isn't always as kind to everybody around you that it might be to you at the time. So it's just so important to reach out in any way you can. And if you don't have money, that's okay. Give some of your time. You know, Give Kids of the World has all kinds of volunteer opportunities. There's your local animal shelters. There's, you know, all kinds of things that you can do. Take a can of dog food to an animal shelter and see how you feel when you walk away from there. It really doesn't have to be big. It just has to be an effort. And I'm inspired by people that do that. It's how I like to live my life. And I'm hoping that little spark of, you know, give something back or pay it forward is something that always lives in our society.
That just that one little spark?
That one little spark. Exactly. Somehow, some way, I'm going to bring it back to Disney. You can count on that.
Well, Becky, I'd love for you to plug all your websites and how people can connect with you.
Oh my gosh. I love my social media. So you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram as Becky Mankin. And it's spelled weird, so let me spell it for you. Becky, B-E-C-I, believe it or not. Mankin, M-A-H-N-K-E-N, and the H throws everybody. So it's B-E-C-I, M-A-H-N-K-E-N, both are on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And then we have a family of websites, something that we're starting to work on our marketing a little bit better because I'm going to more officially roll it out later on. But meitravel.com is the website that deals with cruises or vacations across the globe. So you can find Hawaii or Caribbean or Europe or get stuck in Mexico and have to be flown out, all at MEI Travel. MouseFanTravel.com is all of your Disney destinations. So Disney World, Disneyland Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise, Disneyland Paris, you'll find all of that there. We also have Universal Fan Travel, which is the newest addition, and we're training up all of our agents for that destination because, of course, a lot of people like me are in love with Harry Potter or some of the more extreme rides, which I really enjoy as well. So a love for Universal has kind of popped up, and we have a lot of clients who are asking for it. So we have created a specialty division just for it as well. So that's the family of travel sites, and feel free to come to any of them, put in a quote. We match our clients with the quote request. So if somebody is asking for a Disney cruise, we try to find the available agent that's available right now who's been on a Disney cruise, who is in that time zone, so that we can best match the client with the agent for the most magical experience possible.
Well, that's awesome. I'll have all those links and your Instagram and your Twitter and your Facebook page. Everything will be at howtodream.co.
Terrific.
So I'd love to have you on the show again in like 6 months to a year to catch up and follow up on how you've been.
Absolutely. I would love to return, and we'll probably be talking about what we did this next reunion.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll just bump that up to like 3-4 months and we'll have you on after reunion.
Very cool. Well, I really appreciate being on today. It's been terrific talking with you, Joe.
Yeah, you too, Becky. It was awesome having you on. I'm glad that we were finally able to make that happen after months and months and months of trying to make that happen.
I travel, apparently.
Well, one of us is traveling, though I did a lot of traveling over the summer, not nearly as much as you are.
It's all research purposes. I have to make sure, you know, everything is ready for you when you get there.
Well, thanks again, Becky. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
This is Mickey, and I hope you have a magical day. See you real soon, pal.